10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg up next. Support for the morning show comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe, Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. WGTD is also supported by Carthage College, dedicated to combining an environment of reflection and self-discovery with a culture of high expectation designed to allow students to uncover and ignite their potential. More information about undergraduate and adult education opportunities online at carthage.edu.
And we welcome you to the Thursday morning show on WGTD-HD, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg, and I'm so happy that today can be the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, who makes his way across the hallway to join us. President Albrecht, we welcome you.
Thank you, Greg. It's always a pleasure to be here.
And I'm kind of throwing you a curve here, but I know you won't mind. Not certain if you're aware of it, but this is Teacher Awareness Week.
Yes.
And this might be a nice moment to just acknowledge the huge difference that great teachers make.
You know, I was noticing your tie when I came in this morning. It's terrific. Very, very focused on education to teach us to touch alive. And I think it's so important when you think about the role that teachers play. And, you know, I don't know if I shared with our listening audience that there are 13 teachers in my family. So I'm very, very proud to be a teacher myself and to have sort of that legacy. In fact, the only person that currently doesn't teach is our daughter, Alyssa. I hope she's listening on her way to work because I always tell her that someday she too will teach. You kind of follow those patterns of support. But I'm so proud of our team here, all of the instructors and the faculty that we have. This week actually is our professional development week. So on Monday I had a chance to address all faculty. And, you know, that's what I focused on, how proud I was of what they are able to share with our community through the teaching skills that they have, because graduation's around the corner and all those young men and women are on a tremendous journey for their life, and most of the time it was an influence of a teacher that helped create that support.
Nicely said. We've just passed Earth Day since your last visit to the program, and Gateway, of course, takes Earth Day very seriously.
We do. It's always a big celebration. Our campuses are so involved in helping us better understand the responsibility that we all have on our environment. It's not just one day for us. We celebrate Earth Day every day. We have some great programs that really talk about sustainability and the way that we can engage elementary, middle school, high school, and adult learners in different aspects of sustainability, including programming with energy management, building automation systems, solar programs, wind programs, freshwater technology. We have that impact on our facilities, so we've done a lot of changes. Maybe our community has seen some of the solar panels and the wind turbines and the geosystems that we put in place. We take it very seriously in our area of responsibility. But this last week, of course, celebration of Earth Day brings a focus to it. And we had literally over 2,000 people that attended our Kenosha campus to explore all kinds of new activities, a lot of hands-on activities for kids. I always enjoy those. You know, we play in the dirt with the worms and make bird feeders and things like that. But we held a very special event for Earth Day this year, and that was the dedication of the Survivor Tree. And if I could just take a minute to describe this to our listening audience, it's hard to imagine without actually seeing it. But in 2001, when the World Trade Centers were attacked, a lot of devastation, a lot of loss of life, a lot of first responders performed heroically during that event. And one of the activities of that, a very small part of the activity, was there was a tree that was in the middle of the World Trade Center grounds that was badly burned. The roots were burned. It should have been just cut down, but the New York Parks Department saved that tree. It is now known as the Survivor Tree. They transplanted it, brought it back to life, replanted it back on the grounds, and worked with John Brown High School in Queens to make seedlings from the original survivor tree. And three communities a year are gifted one of the seedling trees. I had to put one more piece of the puzzle in. In 2010, when we opened our Hero Center in Burlington, that's our Health and Emergency Response Center, Gateway was gifted an I-beam from the World Trade Center disaster. And it's a national artifact, and we're the caretakers of that artifact. We built a monument. We might have talked about that. It has an eagle on it that's called Out of the Ashes, and the eagle is pulling the I-beam out of other I-beams. Well, as a result of being a national caretaker, this year Gateway was gifted the seedling survivor tree. So we dedicated that in our arboretum on Earth Day, and we had a guest speaker, Eric Kent, who is the president of our Veterans Club on campus, make an address, and it was so moving. I would just encourage our listening audience to go onto the Gateway website and look for the YouTube on the survivor tree dedication. It is inspiring, it's emotional, and it really tells the complete story of how the environment can affect people's lives and how we can grow and nurture and learn from the environment. And it was really impactful. So that was a big day for me.
That's neat. So an extra special Earth Day.
Yes, it's currently in the arboretum on the Kenosha campus. So if anyone wanted to come by the campus, you'll see right off the north side of the Pike Creek Center is our arboretum, and that's where the tree is planted.
Beautiful. I know that in this very busy season, a lot of our students are busy not only with classes and the regular stuff of being a Gateway student, but also involved in some competitions that are really exciting and important.
And tasty. It's one of my favorite times of the year. This is when our culinary program, all the students demonstrate their skills, and you get to go through and taste test everything, our baking program. But you're right, all of our students are so involved in their professions, and this time of the year they're doing their final projects, they're competing at state level events and moving on to national competitions, and we always do so well. Gateway students are remarkable in the skills that they have earned and how they can demonstrate those. We had national award winners again in our computer science areas, in our marketing programs, our business programs. Just last week, I went to the state robotics competition, and Dominic, I think, has been to a few of those before.
Yes.
And we had 30 schools participate in robotics competitions this year, and it's really remarkable and inspiring to be able to see the sense of confidence and the abilities not only to take the technical skills that our students have earned, but then to communicate those to a panel of judges, to be problem solvers when it doesn't go exactly the way they thought it was going to go before they got there, and really shine and perform in a professional way and earn the level of recognition that they're proud of and that we're proud of as a school to be able to support. And hopefully it'll be one more piece of the puzzle to their resume that they can talk with future employers about.
Excellent. Finally, I know that you want to talk about a lengthening list of business partners that Gateway enjoys a cooperative relationship with. And there are just more and more of them, and they make such a difference.
It's so important that we thank them as well. I mean, just recently AT&T supported Gateway with another $5,000 gift to help bring more high school students to campus. And this is the third time they've done that. So they continue to find the need and a great service of Gateway to be able to link them to their philanthropic contributions. We will be opening a brand new precision measurement program this year in partnership with Sterrett Precision Measurement, one of the world's leaders in machining equipment. So we're really excited about that. We had a great event last month with our Board of Trustees and the Haas Foundation, who put together a $10,000 scholarship for students in the machining area. And if you go through the list, it continues to grow. I mean, we're working with Johnson Bank on a new announcement that'll happen next week with our board. We're really proud of how local businesses have joined our team, and statewide companies have joined our team as well. We continue to look to grow. What's important for us is that those industries see the skills that are being obtained by our students, and they want to help support that, whether it's through financial contributions, technical support, or providing equipment that's more aligned with what the industry expectations and needs are. And we'll talk a little bit about that with our guest today, because we've had a great support network with Badger Meter, and Dominic is here to help share why his commitment to Gateway is so important.
Well, without further ado, it's time to welcome you then into the studios. Dominic Cariello is the Director of Manufacturing and Operations for Badger Meter for three of their plants, one of which is in Racine, the other two, I think you said, in Scottsdale.
And in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Drenched Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Wind-blown, tornado-allied Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Wow. Yep. Everything is still standing and okay?
As it stands right now, yes.
Well, we hope so. We're glad to have you here, and we'd love to hear a little more about your background. You've already mentioned growing up in Racine. Tell us more about exactly where you come from in Racine, what kept you busy in Racine as you were growing up here, and if you ever left or if this has always been home for you.
Well, this always has been home. Yeah, I am a product of the Racine Unified School District, Trusted Agri-Home, from K through, at that time, 9, and then William Horlick High School. Joined the United States Army Reserve at the age of 17, delayed entry program. Ended up going off to basic training and AIT for armor like 7 days after graduation.
Wow.
Yes. And spent 31 years, 8 months, and 11 days serving this great nation of ours. I retired as a brigadier general. Dual hat assigned, the assistant adjutant general for training and mobilization for the Wisconsin Army National Guard and deputy commanding general operations for 1st Army Division West out of Fort Hood, Texas,
wow,
while still working full-time.
Wow.
went to UW-Parkside. I was on the every two-year program, I'm going to graduate. And finally, my wife said to me, you graduate or we're getting divorced. So I ended up spending the last year and a half knuckling down and taking 15 to 21 credits, but graduated from the program. One of the second to last of the engineering programs that they had at Parkside. At the time I was going through the last year and a half at Parkside, I was hired by Racine Federated Incorporated. Knowing that I wanted to get into the engineering field, I started as a CAD drafter, computer-aided design drafter, working on AutoCAD and designing flow meters and some concrete vibrators and some other ancillary products that we had at the time. The senior year, the last semester, my boss came to me and said, what are your intentions when you graduate? And I said, well, I want to be an engineer someplace. And he said, well, I want you to be an engineer here. And I said, I'd love to be an engineer here. And he said, great, so we're going to make you an engineer now. But you will graduate, and if you don't, we fire you. So it was like, okay, I will graduate. From there, various assignments within Racine Federated, had the great opportunity, great leadership, John Erskine Jr., Dave Perkins, Jim Chaplin was my direct boss. Great mentors, taking me through the business acumen, flow instrumentation, concrete vibration in that industry. And I really had a phenomenal boss with Jim Chaplin, who gave me the opportunity to grow within the organization and take on additional duties and responsibilities. So became the engineering services, technical services manager, facility, safety, security, all tied in simultaneously, corporate quality assurance manager, held that position up until about a couple years ago when we were acquired by Badger Meter. In addition to being the general manager of our Blancett division that was located in Fort Worth, Texas at the time, corporate liaison, working with other general managers when we acquired our Presso division out in Plattsburgh, New York. And in 2005, we moved all those divisions into the Racine facility, and actually we moved the Racine facility from the north side. We were huddled up against the Batten Airfield, the Kenneth Huck Industrial Park, two facilities into the old Danfoss building. So we've been there since 2005, and we figured it was a perfect time, especially with the size of the facility, to just move every one of the different divisions, as we call them at that time, into that place. Mm. Now, in 2012, we were acquired by Badger Meter. A great organization. Badger is a worldwide company, has 1,833 employees. The headquarters is in Milwaukee on Brown Deer Road. The Racine facility, and as well as Scottsdale and Tulsa, we now call that the Flow Instrumentation Group because of the type of flow meters that we make. Two-thirds of Badger's business is utility meters, so the flow meters that are in homes, and in buildings that are regulating and monitoring and charging for the amount of water that's being consumed. We're in what's called the industrial market, so process chem, mobile hydraulic, oil and gas, chemical, pharmaceutical, et cetera. So we have various types of flow instrumentation from variable area, turbine, nutating disc, ultrasonic, Doppler, time of flight, vortex shedding, coin wedge, pedo ellipse, Coriolis. Yeah, I think I've covered most all of them. And then we have our concrete vibration product line in the Racine facility that consolidates, deaerates concrete, so it compacts it, so that you have the proper PSI when you need the loads on the specific pavements, airstrips, highways, et cetera.
I'm so glad you explained that, because that was, as you were just finishing, I think I have to make sure I take a second and ask him what in the world concrete vibration is.
Exactly. Well, if you look at forms, the forms that hold bridges, you want to make sure you have no voids in any of that, because then you lose structural integrity. So we design electric motor, gas motor, pneumatic, and what we call the hydraulic. The hydraulic units are on the pavers. So all the work you see out on I-94, that's going on. Walsh and Zenago, they have WICO. Those paving machines have the WICO square head. We are the only square head concrete vibrator. People ask, why square versus round? Well, would you put a round doll in a can of paint to stir it, or would you put a flat stick? Well, you put a flat stick because you have more surface area acting against it. So we are the square head vibrating company, and various types of driving mechanisms.
So I find this always fascinating, because, you know, individually we all drive by companies and we have some idea, we think, what's being made in there and how it's being made, until you actually hear someone like Dominic explain what an organization does and what it makes and how it impacts the lives that we take, that we live and that we take for granted in many cases, that the roads are going to stay in proper shape and concrete's going to hold up.
That concrete is concrete.
Yeah. I mean, and the fact that, you know, we turn the faucet on, we, you know, we hope that we can have good water pressure, and somebody monitors and measures how much water's coming in, going out, and the quality of it. And and we're fortunate to have organizations like Badger Meter and Racine Federated before that in our home community, because these are, as you heard, very high-tech careers. So these are good-paying jobs. These are the types of skills that we want our graduates at Gateway to be associated with, and it's a type of technical training that we provide here at the college.
Hmm. Speaking of training and education, I know that education is something really, really important to you, and that you have spent plenty of time over the years being involved in education here in the community in one way or another, including volunteering quite a lot of your time. Tell us what has fueled that commitment on your part.
Jokingly, I always say that's my future Social Security out there being educated, and I want them to be very, very successful. Now, that's our future. That's the future community. That's our future workers. Racine's a great city. It's a great county, and it has a long history. It has the Midwest work ethic, and we've had a lot of industry leave Racine over the years. And why? Well, yeah, we could say because, you know, cheaper places to have it made. But some of it is losing some of the skills, the vocational skills that are required today, and especially today with the automation, the technology that's out there today. You just can't take somebody, you know, out of high school and put them on a machine, a CNC, without the proper training, computer numeric controlled lathes or mills or any type of machining capability that's computerly controlled. The technology in Badger Meter, flow stands. We have pneumatic, we have oil, we have water. We have to scale set, we have to calibrate. There's a whole lot of technology that's involved in flow instrumentation. And in specifically our industry, but in a lot of industries. And that's a lost art. And the beauty of Gateway, bringing in the programs that it has over the years, the CNC boot camps and CNC courses, the automation, the metronics, that's very important to us at Badger Meter. In fact, we're working in collaboration with Dr. Albright on the developing curriculum at Gateway that's going to help Badger Meter out, because right now I can't find somebody who has flow instrumentation skill sets. So when we start looking for techs, what we call our hydraulic techs within our facility, we like to grow them from inside because, as I said earlier, all the different types of flow instrumentation we have, you're not going to find an individual who has all of that unless they've been, you know, cultivated at Racine Federated / Badger Meter. But the principal skills are there. Understanding hydraulics, understanding pneumatics, understanding instrumentation, integrating instrumentation into flow control, et cetera, because that's important today. Water is the next gold. It's the new gold. And as we see what's happening in California and all over the world, water is a resource that has to be closely monitored and controlled. And we got to have the skills to do that, and we've lost that. My passion for education is that truly is our future. The growth of this community, the growth of Racine, the growth of industry is dependent on having those skills, having those people with those skills, being able to come to our doors, knock on them and say, I want a job, and we can give them a job. Mm-hmm. Keep them in the community.
Yeah, you know, I don't need to echo anything that Dominic says. He says it just beautifully, and I reflect a little bit because even before the program started, I was sharing with Dominic sort of the unique history of Gateway in what's now called America's Community Colleges. The Racine community in 1911 founded the first two-year publicly funded school in America for the same exact purpose that Dominic shared, the mission of aligning the needs of the industries with a skilled workforce. And here we are 104 years later, and we're saying the same thing, basically, maybe in different technology terms as far as new integrated computer systems. But 100-plus years, it's still about the investment in people and how we can help everyone, youth and adults, gain the types of skills to be competitive for the job market that's going to be competing, as you're in your case, worldwide.
Absolutely.
So what would be some of the specific programs that your company has been involved in?
Well, going back to the Racine Federated days, back in 1993, my boss came to me and said, oh, by the way, I have just volunteered you to be on the Racine Unified School District Technology Implementation Program. I said, well, what's that about? He says, well, go to the meeting and you'll find out. And I did. It was about bringing in computers and other technology into Racine Unified. And while I was going through that process, I ended up getting involved with RAMAC, Racine Area Manufacturers Association and Commerce, and was asked to come and be on the RAMAC Education Committee. And it was like, yeah, absolutely. Would love to do that because it's tied back into the technologies. And again, we didn't have a drafting board at Racine Federated. Well, we did. It's where we stored a bunch of stuff. Everything we were doing was on a computer. So all of our designs were on a computer. And when you walked into the high schools, and in some cases even at Gateway, until they started implementing the CAD systems, you had drafting boards. Well, okay, great skills. They're learning that, and that's good. You need to have that foundation. But then I'm not going to dust off the drafting board so that I can give you a job. I need you to have those computer skills. So got involved in that technology. And then the Voc Tech guys over at RUSD, Jeff Dowd, came to me and said, hey, would really like you to be on a committee that we're putting together that's implementing computer-aided design, computer-aided engineering, computer-aided manufacturing, part of the Voc Tech program. And I said, absolutely, would love to do that. In fact, we brought in interns. We had the first CAD intern at Racine Federated, Eric Larson, who went on to Annapolis and graduated. I think he's a lieutenant colonel now, United States Marine Corps. Great young man. We had the first machine apprenticeship program at Racine Federated that they implemented at Case High School. And that individual is still working with us, Ron Reichel. So he started as a 16-year-old high school student working in the machine shop, and now he's one of our senior programmers that we have in the facility. So those were a couple programs. Then we started Career Connections. RAMAC with RUSD started the Career Connections Initiative, which is linking learning to life. That was over 19 years ago. And I say that because I'm going to talk about how we're now working on the national model of career academies and pathways that I am now heading up on the RAMAC committee again, back in the saddle, what we're calling the Business Education Advisory Group. And it's the partnership that we're going to have, and it's a great partnership that I'll tie in that we had with Gateway as well throughout the years. But so started that program, and in fact, a couple weeks ago, I gave a presentation to the Board of Education regarding how we need to change the way we go after education in Racine. And basically, we need to focus on RUSD as the main effort. All the other organizations that are out there are supporting efforts. And we're going to have Higher Expectations be the facilitator that's going to orchestrate the needs of RUSD to the supporting elements, the RAMACs, the United Ways, Gateway, because Gateway and Parkside take on both what I call a tactical and a strategic focus, because they're in the trenches with the CNC programs, et cetera. In fact, one of the things we talked about for the career academies, well, we're going to need to bring CNCs into the schools. Well, we did that under Career Connections many years ago. We put a couple CNCs at Park High School. In fact, the automotive lab that Park High School has was part of the Career Connections initiative. Dave Dixon, phenomenal job, what he's done with that program and others, Jeff Dow, Dave Smirchak, Dan Kramer, et cetera, all working on getting that going and making it happen and bringing in Gateway to work with the students, to give credit to the students in high school. So that when they walked out of high school, they could walk over to Boucher or Gentile or Pullman Motors. I got to do a shout out to Pullman because Pullman donated a lot of the equipment, most all of the equipment that went into that facility. So that was another initiative program, Career Connections. And when I presented to the Board of Education this new pathways and how they need to support that, I was asked, well, why did that end? And I said, because of a superintendent. By the stroke of a pen, and two sentences later, we're no longer having Career Connections because it wasn't that superintendent's program at the time. What he wanted to do was different. Well, that's why we have what we're going to call the master plan. So we're going to create a master plan for education in Racine County, and it's something that RAMAC stands behind and that we're going to get others to stand behind as well. And as part of the National Pathways, we're looking at the Ford Foundation supporting that, and they're going to be coming in this next week, and they're going to be giving some presentations and have open discussion with the community and educators and businesses, et cetera. And one of the things that they have is a master plan as well. So there's, I don't want to convolute it, there are two master plans. The master plan we're talking about initially is the master plan tied to all of Racine County, because we do have Burlington, Union Grove, Waterford schools. We hire people from those schools as well and from those areas. So we have to treat all of Racine County. We'll have a sub-master plan that's tied to the Ford Foundation program, and we'll drive from there. Now, also, I've been involved in the Higher Expectations, the Strive program, et cetera, and being involved in a lot of those, what it did for me is it focused that what we have to have is a master plan, because we have so many great organizations that are trying to do great things here in Racine. And you go to businesses and you ask them to throw money at it because it requires money and it requires human capital. So when you start looking at all the different, what I call stovepipes, all those organizations, stovepipes, and throwing money at those stovepipes, what they're doing is they're just blowing smoke up vertical to where they're at, but really not supporting what we should be looking at as the main effort, which is RUSD and its programs. And from there, that's the strategy piece of Gateway and Parkside, because then it's the continuation into the two-year and four-year degree programs and certifications that are going to be required for the future skills, because the academies focus on, like, Career Connections. This is what I want to be when I grow up. This academy is specifically, here's the Science and Technology Academy. Here's the Humanities, Health and Human Services. Here's the Agriculture and Business. Okay, that's what I want to do when I grow up. That's the school you're going to go to. And then we're going to have the support mechanisms of Gateway, which they have in the past phenomenally. Well, I talked about those CNCs. Well, guess what? The IMET Center has a bunch of CNCs. And Dr. Albright said, well, I don't know, why wouldn't you just have those students come here, make this the academy for CNC, this the academy for welding, this the academy for metronics. Yeah, why wouldn't we? Because it makes sense. Mm-hmm. It already exists, and we're not asking the public to throw more money, or we don't have to tap into that 15-year referendum to have to pay that off, where we can focus on other programs that money can be used for, because things already exist. It's the common sense approach to going after education.
Right, and working together.
Working together.
Absolutely. I mean, you can hear from Dominic's passion that he understands it. He's been involved with it for so many years already, going through the system himself, and then also now giving back by participating in continuous improvement. And many people might hear this and say, well, you're doing the same thing you did, you know, 15 years ago. No, we're not. It's actually we're improving upon the model from 15 years ago. And the academy model that's being developed now with Racine will give us more leverage to continue to find ways to align the systems, K-12, post-secondary, two-year, four-year, all of the great partnerships that we have. They don't happen overnight. It takes a lot of time and talent to help design those systems, because we want to make sure that the person going through, the young person, the student going through, is really getting all of the resources made available to them in the time that they need them, and we're providing the best education that we can. And we've done it for centuries in Racine, and we're doing it and going to continue to do that going forward in the future. So very proud, and it's just great to have leadership roles in industry like Dominic's sharing with us today, to have that vision, because it's difficult to do it alone in an educational realm. You need to have the community's support and understanding of why you're making those changes.
Sure. For those of you just joining us, this is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, and our guest with us in the studio, Dominic Cariello, who is director of manufacturing and operations for Badger Meter. Mr. Cariello, you can maybe shed some light on the business of water and the fact that it matters so much, but even beyond the obvious, beyond the way that most of us use water to drink from and shower with and wash our cars and water our lawns and so on, but there is this entire infrastructure and the whole industrial complex that requires water, and a lot of it. And I'm sure that makes a huge difference for a company like Badger Meter, which is in the business of making sure that water intake and usage is very accurately and meaningfully monitored. Just give us some insight on the importance of water in just about every manufacturing undertaking, and why the work that your company does is becoming, in a sense, more essential by the day.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, you can start from just driving into any facility, and if they have a manicured lawn or they have plants, shrubs, etc., well, there's your first usage of water right there. Once you walk into the facility, it's protected by sprinkler systems, and you have to have water there. So if there is that fire or hazard that's taking place within the plant, that's going to activate and be there. You know, you've already talked about, you know, the cleaning and the washing hands and toilets, and of course what's important to me most every morning, coffee, making sure that that's there to start the day. But then we start getting into the actual processing. So you look at a lot of the materials that are used in industry today. There is a form of water that's used in those products to make it, to heat treat, to cool, to monitor and control, to lubricate. It's important. And the flow instrumentation that Badger Meter creates, again, we have the utility side and the industrial side. The utility side, we'll focus on that, again, is your house water meter. And we have advances in that. We have the Beacon, which is a flow meter that's tied to telecommunications, and you can pull it up on your computer. You can pull it up on an app, and it's where you can start seeing. You can get alarms that, I'm all of a sudden my house has excessive water being consumed. Well, I might have a water main break. I might have a problem with the system, et cetera. So industry, our industry, With a lot of water flow instruments, well, we have to calibrate and we have to test and we have to run those through. So we're dependent on that water as well. But throughout every plant, there is the need for water and the control of water. And regardless of where you're located, it is fundamentally part of everything that we touch within that organization.
And it's important for us here at Gateway, too, not only for the facilities and the programs that we offer, but we have a fresh water program,
yes.
a utility program. We have a water treatment program. So there are many different types of jobs related to the water industry itself, from water quality testing to the utilities that manage our water for us as a community. And it's an exciting field for us because, as Dominic said, it is not only growing, but it is an industry that allows so much variation and creativity. I know, for example, UW-Whitewater has a law degree in water technology.
Wow.
So there are business degrees, law degrees, there's patents,
right.
there's all types of different things that typically, you know, we haven't thought of in the past. We just thought,
no.
Well, we've got this big lake full of water, so
right.
we're good for a while.
And we'll draw from it. And because it's becoming the new gold, being able to accurately assess how much is being consumed, control how much is being consumed. You know, I just read in the newspaper that the former CEO of Kohler is going to become the chairman of the board, and his son's going to take over. And the first thing he's going to focus on is developing toilets and urinals that use less water. Again, so, you know, something as simple as that. If Rich Musin were here, the president, chairman of the board, and CEO of Badger Meter, Rich has a great example of, well, you know, with the Water Council tied to beer, urinals, toilets, and flow monitoring, and then the water purification, et cetera, that it's a circle. It comes back around itself. You know, you need the water to make the beer. You drink the beer. You get rid of the beer. Yeah, the beer goes down, and that then sewage, and then that has to be treated, and then guess what? That becomes drinking water again, and or becomes beer again. It's a circle. I'll call it the circle of life,
right.
but it is a circle, and it's a necessity to be able to accurately monitor that. You know, a simple thing is a vending machine. There's flow meters that are controlling how much liquid is dispensed. If you have an 8-ounce cup in there, you don't want 10 ounces of coffee
right.
or juice or cocoa coming out. So you have a flow meter that's measuring and monitoring how much of that is being consumed.
Huh.
Regulates. It also regulates.
The kind of thing we just take for granted, absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you put a couple quarters in, well, dollars now, I guess. But, yeah.
Can you just say a quick word about the way in which your industry has changed? We've already talked about the fact that because we're now realizing that water is a, to some extent at least, much more finite resource than we used to think of. So that's certainly a big difference, the way we think about water. Maybe technologically speaking, what would be one or two really important breakthroughs that have transformed your industry over the years?
Absolutely. Automation. Automation and integration. Computer integration or communications integration to be able to be at remote sites and call up instrumentation and see what's happening, how much flow is going through, total flow, etc. One of our products, the Blancet turbine meter, is used in the oil remediation and reclamation. We don't measure oil coming out of the ground. We measure the water, actually like a saltwater solution that's pumped into the oil wells, to push the oil up, to get every bit of it out that we possibly can. Well, plus or minus 4% of what's put in has to come out. So you have to be able to read from 1 meter monitor, an acre, through an acre facility on one side, how much was pumped in, and then you have to know at what point did you pump it out and control it. And that is regulated by the EPA and the DNR. So that's very important in the oil patch. Coal bed methane, the amount of water that comes up through there, that's, you know, theoretically 30 million year old water. Well, what do we know about it? We don't know a lot. So what comes up, we have to measure, and then what goes down, we measure as well. And it's a plus or minus percentage based on evaporation, et cetera. That's controlled. So being able to call up those systems, to integrate them into alarms, integrate them into information systems, integrate them into accounting, where you're getting billed for the amount of water, you're getting billed for the amount of sewage, et cetera. So what comes in has to go out, and it has to be measured accurately.
Mm. Yeah, those are really great practical examples that, I mean, it just dawned on me. I hadn't thought of that. I thought we always measured how much oil came out of the oil well, right? Really, it's how much we put in that drives it out. So that's really good examples.
Yeah. So, President Albrecht, you have issued a very important invitation to Mr. Cariello to speak at Gateway's upcoming graduation. Tell us what prompted you to issue this
Absolutely.
Invitation.
Well, I hope our audience had heard from Dominic's presentation here today, his interview, that he's so passionate and so knowledgeable about education and what it takes to be successful today. And, you know, I do a lot of thinking about who in our community would I want to have stand in front of our graduates to have that one moment, those 7 minutes of inspiration that's going to lead them to pathways of opportunity and hopefully lifelong careers in our community. And it was so resonating to me when I was listening with Dominic probably 6-7 months ago already, thinking about here is someone that went through our educational system, has been involved in our educational system, leads a company, a world-class company, travels all over the country and all over the world, understands the magnitude of the importance of education. And it was really easy for me to say, Dominic, would you speak to our students and help all of us understand why education is pivotal in your life, in your career, and why it'll be pivotal in the future for graduates from Gateway. So very, very proud that he said yes and very excited about his presentation coming up in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Thank you.
What does it feel like to have been given such an invitation?
Truly an honor. It really is. Any opportunity to just give some words of wisdom or help people out, again, tying back to what I said earlier, where I want to be able to hire people that knock on our door. I want to be able to make sure that Racine thrives in the future, and that's part of it. To be able to speak to them for seven minutes now, okay, I'll have to shorten that speech a little bit.
But, I was going to ask you if you know what you're going to do. You know what you're going to say already?
I do. You know, I was raised by a great family, and my father was an individual who always wanted the best for us. He too worked on the engine line at Case and moved all the way up to becoming director of logistics and operations for Case Tractor, 39 years service.
Wow.
When I was 12 years old, my dad pulled me aside and said, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" I said, "I have no idea." Oh, I said, "Actually, I said an astronaut." He goes, "Well, now you're afraid of heights. So come back tomorrow. Tell me what you're going to be when you grow up." So I came back and I said, "Well, I want to be an engineer." And he said, "Okay, well, your math isn't really that good right now. You need to focus on math and science. So if that's what you really want to do, then those are the extra courses you need to take and make sure you sign up for things that take you down that career." So getting the enlightenment early on in my life helped drive me forward. That, you know, you are what you make of yourself. And what I'm going to tell the students is, you're owed nothing, okay? Nobody owes you anything. You now have skills. You now have education. You have the ability to take those newly found skills and that education and come to the doors of businesses and ask for jobs, to apply for the jobs that we need. You also have to remember that although you're the individual coming there, it's all about being part of a team, being part of a collaboration for success and not just about yourself. If you want to be an individual, I have no place for individuals. I look for people who want to be part of an organization, a cross-functional organization that want to flourish. And you make that happen. I was once asked, what's the greatest thing you've ever done, Dominic? I said, "That's simple. I surrounded myself with greater people, and I always look to surround myself with greater people." And what I'm going to tell the graduating class is, be one of those greater people. Just be one of those greater people. Be dedicated, be loyal, be disciplined, come to work, work hard. Don't come in with an attitude that, well, now that you have a diploma, you have a piece of paper, and that you went through school, that I owe you a job. I don't. I want to give you one, but I don't owe you a job. Because you know what? There's millions and millions who have degrees, diplomas, certificates that will show up at company doors every day. And if you truly want to be one of the select, then come in with an open mind, come in willing to work hard, and come in wanting to be one of those great people, and then surround yourself with greater people.
Well put.
Yeah, you know, it's what a message. I mean, the empowerment process to help young people know that they're on a journey, that their life does not begin or end with any single moment in time as far as a piece of paper graduating, that there's lifelong learning, and that you want to be a part of something bigger. You want to be a part of a career. There's a job within a career, and becoming a professional in that career and giving back to your community after you've been able to reap some of the rewards of it. And what a great example we have from Dominic, who's not only challenged himself and really done some remarkable things in his military background and his professional background, and now giving so much back to the community. And that's really the whole process of education. It's, you know, you learn, you take, and then you give. And it's really a great appreciation that he's going to be our speaker this year.
I know that Gateway's graduation, especially the big graduation in the spring, is one of your favorite days of the whole year.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. I mean, from the very first day of the semester, I try to get into the classrooms and talk with students about, you know, the time will go very fast and it won't be long and we'll be going across the stage and I'll get to shake your hand and congratulate you. And at that moment when they begin, it seems like it's so far away. And for many of our students, this journey has not taken 1 year, 2 years. It's 3, 4, 5 years. Part-time students juggling families, juggling all kinds of different obstacles in their life, and, you know, building a career as they go through the whole process. And it is really a remarkable experience to see how excited and proud they are, and their parents in the audience, and sometimes their children are in the audience. And they're just, you know, it's a remarkable investment in time and energy that they've made. And to see them succeed is really, really what Gateway's all about. And now they will go on to become great leaders in our community. And we've been doing it for 104 years, and it's one of the most remarkable days of the life that I have, serving as the president of Gateway.
Nice. When is graduation again?
So May 19th, we'll be following up after UW Parkside's graduation. There's this next week, and we always hold our event over at the Fieldhouse at UW Parkside.
Great.
I should add one other unique piece that I haven't shared with Dominic yet. One of the things that we do different at Gateway is that our commencement speaker actually gets to help hand out the diplomas.
Oh, fantastic.
So you will get to see and meet these young men and
fantastic.
Women and look them in the eye and shake their hand. And that's when all of a sudden the importance of that moment becomes real.
Well, and it's person to person to person
Absolutely.
To person. Yeah, not just a sea of faces, but then you get to encounter each one. What an exciting night it's going to be. And Dominic Cariello, it's been great to meet you and great to hear your inspiring story. And we wish you well with everything ahead of you, including the commencement speech, which I know will be a superb one. It was great to meet you today.
Thank you very much.
Good
very nice being here.
And, of course, Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. It's always great to have you here, and we wish you well with the upcoming summer. I don't think you're taking time off from the morning show, though, are you?
I'll be here, Greg. We'll keep doing this, all
right? Look forward
to
it. I'm Greg Reberg. Tomorrow, Friday, is going to be a very exciting day on the morning show, and I hope that you will make a special point of listening. We will begin with Thupten Jinpa, who is someone who has been for the last 30 years or so the principal English translator to the Dalai Lama. And Thupten Jinpa has written a wonderful book called A Fearless Heart, How the Courage to be Compassionate Can Transform Our Lives. We will also be speaking tomorrow with one of America's most able choral composers, Abby Bettinas. And the Carthage College Women's Ensemble is going to be performing her exquisite work, A Blessing of Cranes, on Carthage's choral concert this Sunday afternoon. And we'll be speaking with Abby Bettinas about her career and particularly about this extraordinary work. We will talk with Alice Eve Cohen about a lovely book, a memoir called The Year My Mother Came Back, a perfect conversation on the eve of Mother's Day. And we'll finish the hour with Buzz Aldrin, the second man to walk on the moon, who has written a very intriguing book called Mission to Mars. Our weather forecast for sunny and very warm conditions. Our high today will be 83 degrees, a little cooler near the lake. Cloudy tonight with a slight chance of rain, a low of 63. Tomorrow's high right around 80 with, again, a 60% chance of rain. This is WGTDHD.